Good evening. It's Wednesday, March 2nd, and you're listening to The Fringe Meta. I'm your host, Kyle, Dr. K-Force Pet, and with me, as always, P the Resting Lich Face. Shepherd, how are you doing this evening, Pete?
You're really exaggerating that pause.
I really am.
Yeah, that's a really pregnant pause.
Now, however, you've called me out on air, so I can't do it anymore.
That pause is so pregnant that it's having triplets.
Speaking of pregnant, I gotta tell you something.
Uh-oh.
I had a really weird dream the other day.
Okay.
I was at your wedding.
Okay.
Right there, it's funny, right? I was at your wedding. I was your best man. Mm-hmm. I got up to give us a best man speech, right?
Yeah.
And I started podcasting. I'm like, how hilarious would this be?
If this is
how I started the best man speech, is I started with our podcast intro and someone had to come over to me and be like, hey, you know you're not podcasting right now, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah, you're at Peter's wedding. I'm like, oh, is that why I'm in a suit? I see.
Okay. Wow. I mean, it'd be hilarious.
It would be hilarious for like the three of us there,
yeah,
who would understand the joke. Everybody else would just be confused as fuck.
Yeah,
your family would probably want to shoot me.
No, I don't think they care. I don't think they'd be at my wedding.
Awkward. Anyway, just the crazy story of Kyle right now.
Yeah. Well, I've been playing a lot more League lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't say that I have.
Yeah.
I binged on WoW and got my mage to 100.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Started gearing him up, because I've decided that I don't like raiding as melee. It's hard. It's annoying. You can't see anything.
I thought you liked tanking, though.
I do like tanking, but I don't want to tank for pugs.
Right.
So I'm not going to tank for pugs.
I mean, you realize we're probably only ever going to play with pugs for the rest of our career. Unless, by some grace of God, we find, of C'Thun, we find a guild. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's somehow magically fits our schedule and stuff like that.
I'm aware of that. I also don't quite like how Fury Warrior DPS is right now. It's kind of weird. I can't quite get the priority right to maximize my DPS. So that's another reason why I've kind of slid over to my mage.
Because
I get how to maximize my mage DPS.
Mage DPS is the second easiest DPS in the game next to Hunters, yeah. Sorry, did I call them Hunters? I meant Huntards.
Yeah,
if you play a Huntard, stop listening right now. There's our entire
audience.
I'm
pretty sure they just have.
Yeah, there's our entire audience right there.
But yeah, I find it easier to do. I have to worry about a few less things on my priority list in terms of when can I use this and when can't I?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's times when you're not supposed to be using certain things.
Seems to be just like random procs, though, as far as I played when I played it.
I mean, it is, but there's also rage bar management that needs to happen. You need to keep your rage bar in a certain area, right? Like a certain give or take. And it's always, I have a hard time. I either dump too much or I cap out too much. Frost Mage is just good. And it's always been my second character.
I think it's kind of funny because playing melee is one of the nails that, and I hated playing as a ranged, leveling up as a ranged too. But playing as a melee is one of the nails into the coffin of Warlords of Draenor why I stopped playing WoW. It was a completely different experience and it was interesting, but by golly, I don't know how people do that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I still like playing in melee. It's just I know that I will be able to better maximize my DPS and therefore and thereby manage to get myself into the higher tiers of raiding more easily. Without feeling bad like I'm getting carried. Because when I'm playing my warrior, I sometimes feel like I'm getting carried.
Is your mage your 300?
No.
You transferred it over as well?
No. I leveled it from level one.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had heirlooms until 90, so.
Yeah.
And I have my heirloom weapon the
Yeah,
rest
that's
of the
pretty
way.
fast, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking forward to Legion. So
Not
much
much.
so that I probably would buy it today.
Today.
But
Seeing as the dollar is at about 74 cents.
yeah, but whatever, I'll hold off
Yeah.
a bit longer here.
I've heard it's supposed to continue on its upward trend, but this is not an economics podcast.
No, it is not.
This is a video gaming nerd culture podcast. So you were saying you've been playing some League.
Yeah.
Any specific champions you've been
I'm well, I'm
indulging yourself
pretty
on?
happy on the PvE right now. There's a change to Sejuani to help her early game clear the damage on her E's going up.
Nice.
I'm not sure if it's enough, but even small changes actually have a pretty big impact. So that might make her a little bit more viable than she is right now. They really overnerfed her in Gragas last season. And I don't want this to just become the hate train all the time, but I really don't understand Riot's decision making sometimes. Because their logic for nerfing Gragas and Sejuani after or before they nerfed the Cinderhulk was that they were too strong with the Cinderhulk, right? But Rek'Sai could build a Cinderhulk. Lee Sin was building a Cinderhulk last season as well. Ekko was building a Cinderhulk in the jungle. None of them received nerfs. Ekko received nerfs because of his laning was too oppressive. And Rek'Sai still has not received any nerfs whatsoever. I mean, not anything significant anyway, to make her unplayable in the LCS. And she's been a power pick, or at least a not a power pick, but a very solid team comp. She's a neutral jungler, right?
Yeah.
She's good in every comp. She's not bad in any comp. She's good at everything. She's like a jack of all trades. I think it's just kind of confusing that they leave her in. And to me, she's really boring to watch pros play as well. I hate Rek'Sai being in a game. I wish the team using Rek'Sai loses automatically because she's just so boring to play, to watch being played.
So, taking out the whole Rek'Sai. Pretty sure they have said sometimes that they do just buff and nerf champions that they want to see in competitive sometimes. And I think they felt they were seeing too much Gragas and Sejuani then, so they kind of got some
To
nerfs.
me, it was the perfect.
I can't really explain the Rek'Sai away. But
Well, she's a fan favorite. So even though she's about as exciting as watching paint dry to watch being played, she's a fan favorite for some reason. I don't know. She has one knockup ability. Like, get over it. Like, that's it. That is literally Rek'Sai's ability to play. It is just her endlessly sustaining in the jungle and showing up on the map to poke people and then knocking somebody up occasionally. Now, yes, you can break down any champion to try to make them sound boring that way, but I just don't get it. And this is coming from somebody who is eventually going to pick her up so that he can climb up the diamond. But this season, I understand that she's good in solo queue. It's just, and you know what? The last couple of weeks, since the junglers and LCS have been moving away from Rek'Sai and such,
yeah.
right? I mean, the games have been a lot more exciting. I don't know if you want to hop onto that right now, because we have some other things we want to talk about last week's games. But yeah, I think I'm going to hop right on that right
Oh yeah,
now.
you can hop right into that.
CLG versus Immortals, amazing game. Back and forth, two comps specifically designed to do very different things fighting each other. I want to take a moment to talk about how brilliant CLG's comp is. And I don't think, by the way, people who are saying that they're one-trick ponies and such like that, I think they're wrong. One-trick ponies. Anyway, trick 2G, right? No, I think they're wrong. I think they have other comps, but this is a comp they wanted to use. And I think it's pretty smart. Use a comp until it loses. Unless you're Curse, and then you just keep losing with the same comp over and over again because Saint Vicious dives in too deeply.
I would like to bring up the point that Cloud, this is what Cloud9 used to do when you hated on them for so long.
This is two games. This is two games they've done the same comp
It's two games, but
in a row
you just said
to beat
play the same comp
there's
until
stiffer
they
competition.
lose.
All the other teams were desperately trying to find fringe picks that could beat the power picks instead of just learning the power picks. It was the other team's faults to a certain extent, but every single draft screen with Cloud9 was the most boring. And it wasn't the same comp every game either, Kyle Pett. It was literally the exact same champions every game. And the other teams just didn't get it. They just didn't get it. They were like, maybe I should learn Jace. Maybe I should learn Elise. Like they just didn't pick them up. No. And the teams didn't play with comps at the time that like tried to do something specific. It was basically just create a team fight comp. That was it, right? Like with power picks. So,
Yeah, I'm gonna disagree with that
we
because
can
there was plenty of split pushing compositions and
yeah,
various other
split
things.
pushing with Jace after the 12th time in a row you picked him. Anyway, look, we can go back and look in the past to unrecorded, unpodcasted things that I've said off air in the past about criticisms of other teams until the cows come home. I can do it with you too. So, whatever. I think it's pretty smart for them to use it. I think if they use the comp next week in both games, especially against lower tier teams, I think that's a mistake from overall macro management of the team perspective. I think the coaching and analyst staff need to work on another comp to try against a couple of the lesser teams because they don't have two stiff competition next week, if I recall correctly. Which I'm going to look up in a second. But anyway, amazing game, Immortals versus Counter Logic Gaming. I want to take a moment and so people were pretty harsh on Huhi's performance that game actually because he had the most deaths. His score was 2-4-2 on LeBlanc. They don't understand what Huhi was doing in that comp because when somebody plays that style in our Elo. And they get a score like that, it's oh, that's why we lost the game or whatever. And CLG didn't lose the game, but still, like definitely our weakest player. Actually, I would argue that Huhi was the most crucial member in that comp. And again, when they used it on against Cloud9, same with the Corki. And Huhi's score was looking pretty rough until the late game there actually too. So this is what the comp is. So you have a split pushing jungler, right? You have a split pushing top laner. This is what Zion Spartan is known for. This is how he took TSM on his own back, basically, with GGU to five games, remember, in the first split finals before Cloud9 entered. So this is a throwback to that. And CLG's working on these interesting comps and such like that now. And with ZZ Rock coming out, other teams are working on it too, especially in solo queue. You should see the shift in players now from hating ZZ Rock because it steals gold to now, wow, it's a really powerful tool. So you have two guys split pushing at all times. So you're basically running a 1-3-1, right? And then you utilize ZZ Rock, in theory anyway, to then shift to 0-3-2, right? Or, just have the one guy roaming, right? With a ZZ Rock. Here's the brilliance of this comp. CLG is a good early game team, yes? They have been a good. Thank you for agreeing with me. They've been a good. They've been this season and last
They've been a
split.
consistent early game
Last
team.
split and this split, the thing everyone has said about them is that they have been good early game rotations. They have had a handle on the early games. Even when they lost Doublelift, they have managed to keep this style. Problem is that the early game is always not transferred to the late game for them. This is why this comp is brilliant. It's not that boring, stupid four versus zero, get rid of the early game really quickly strategy, because obviously they wouldn't want to do that. But it stops the other team from doing it because they initiate the lane swap and then they put more forces on their weak side to stop turrets from going down, right? How do
Sure.
you extend the early game advantage? Those rotations where they catch people and slowly get ahead by catching people in the rotations because their ward lines are better and their rotations are better. How do you do that? Split pushing is a pretty darn good way to do it, and that's why Houhi's scoreline in the win against Immortals. Now, for a team like Immortals to only get caught a couple times, but think back to when they did get caught. They were crucial kills that allowed CLG to capitalize. Houhi had two solo kills only, and they were crucial enough that that's the reason why CLG won the game. You get the other team to mess up in the rotations and then you punish them for it. They found a way to do it. And if the other teams have figured this out the way I have, at least the theory behind it, then CLG's number might be up and I hope they can come up with another comp because it's scary. Quinn is supposed to counter Fiora, right? She is. Anyway, she is.
I
So.
think what they decide it's largely a skill matchup now, I think. Who
But
can
they,
out skill who?
yeah, but they did pick Quinn because she has a shot at countering Fiora in a
Yes.
meta in which Fiora is countered by very, 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 very few things. She counters Nautilus right now, who's we're gonna see next week in the LCS for sure, by
Well,
the way.
Fiora was picked to counter the Quinn.
Sure.
Yes. Yes. No.
I think
Fiora
I think
was the last pick, Pete.
sure, but I think that Quinn is a counter to Fiora almost unquestionably, in my opinion anyway, and in most other pro streams that I've listened to extensively. So I think it was hilarious that Darshan picked Fiora and still managed to counter the Quinn. And it was purely because of the pressure Xsmithie put on that lane. And Xsmithie has come out in a big way showing us this. And then their game against Cloud9, Jax is supposed to get countered in team fights. Like pretty hard. And yet this Jax is coming up big in team fights. A lot of deaths. And the thing that amazes me is the game against Immortals was a good win, and I was like, there's no way any game this split is going to top that. And then the very next day, the Cloud9 versus CLG game was even better, man.
It was. And Sneaky
Amazing.
almost put Cloud9 on his back and almost managed to will them to victory.
The plays with Rush and Jensen in the mid game around the Baron pit, amazing. I have not seen mechanical play like that in North America yet, even with all of the Korean and European imports. And all the people who are always jacking those guys off. But those plays were insane. Okay? Insanely good. Yes. So the crucial moment that lost the game for Cloud9, a lot of people are saying, was Hai using ult early and then diving into the inhibitor without ult, dying, and that allowed CLG to win. Maybe. Maybe. But if you wanna put all games to one little mistake late game that maybe lost the game, I mean, CLG were well in control of this game. As back and forth as it was, they were well in control of this game. They knew their win conditions perfectly, and they had multiple ways that they could close the game out. Love the comps coming from CLG this week. Sorry I went on a little bit there, but
It's fine.
this is the Trick 2G style playing, and with the Zerat getting built by so many pros now in solo queue, you better believe we're going to see a lot more of it coming out in the next couple of weeks. Of course, we have IEM this weekend coming up, right? But Zerod is available in the patch that they're playing at IEM, so anyway, TSM.
We're not gonna.
You don't want to talk about it?
I don't wanna. No, I don't wanna relive that.
I don't want to beat a dead horse.
Because it was just hand to head. I just wanted to hit my head on my desk.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but Echo Fox actually looked pretty strong against them day one, in spite of the loss, for a while there anyway.
Oh, see, that game was. No, I disagree.
Of course you do. You're a fanboy.
I don't think Echo Fox looked that great against TSM. I think TSM looked in control the whole game. And there, I don't want to talk about the Liquid game. The Liquid game was just.
I want to go back because I have some new thoughts about what is eating Gilbert Grape. TSM.
I don't understand. One, why Doublelift stayed in that lane on the first kill, and why they kept just going back one at a time. Like, I don't
We've
understand.
seen teams do this in the past when they're
I
tilting.
don't get it.
We've seen teams do this in the past when they're tilting. So I remember last season, Team Liquid having a loss against Cloud9 for that very same reason.
Yeah. Like,
So you're.
TSM fed Piglet what? Four early kills?
And Piglet got a lot of praise for that game, but anyone can perform that well when they're fed. Anyway, yeah. Yeah.
But he got fed four early kills, and that just kind of snowballed everything.
Yeah.
And to TSM's credit, they did put up a fight, and Doublelift did kind of become that blue Ezreal monster near the end of the game. It just wasn't fast enough.
Which we're not going to see when we come back to the LCS after IEM, by the way.
No.
Because they're going to be playing on the new patch where Ezreal is not as good. Yeah. That comp. Okay.
And I think that TSM had a shot. Still had a shot when they started, because they started to turn it around, right? Before they got aced, or nearly aced right there near the end.
Yeah.
When they turned to take the top lane turret, that loss, I feel like they were down, but they still had a chance. When they turned to take that turret and half the team died, that was the game there. 'Cause they got the mid lane. They finally got some kills. If they had backed off, fought, and kind of poked and prodded and all that, I think they had a chance to keep the game going. And the longer that game went, the scarier and scarier TSM's team looks compared to Team Liquid's.
Outscale wise,
Yeah.
yes. Mostly just because of the Haunter. I'm sorry,
Answer.
the Gangplank
Yeah.
Haunter and how well he did again past tense because with Blue Ezreal. That's like the perfect team comp right there, you know?
Right? And then Orianna is just gonna. Orianna will be able to output way more damage than the Lulu would too. Right? So it then becomes Piglet against Haunter, Bjergsen, and Double. And can they burst Piglet down fast enough?
Yeah.
When Haunter gets that second IE, oh yeah, they can. But they didn't get there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're talking about on a micro level the mistakes TSM are making. I want to take a moment because I hope we're not beating a dead horse here because we have talked a lot about it because that has been a definite thread going on this season. The problems with TSM and their macro management, so outside the game even, so team management. Don't stop me if you think I'm wrong, because I'd love to hear what you have to say about this. But so I was talking to somebody who doesn't follow the pro scene that much, Andy, last weekend, and I finally figured out what to. So TSM are the Yankees. Okay. TSM and Cloud9 have done a better job fostering their.
I wouldn't say they're the Yankees.
Okay. Well,
I'd say they're probably more like the Habs and the Leafs.
for this analogy to work for the problems that I feel that they're having, I'm gonna still say that they're the Yankees and go ahead and just push right past. So here's the thing. TSM and Cloud9 have done better job managing their business. They have better merchandise. They have done better viral marketing. CLG are the underdogs simply because their team management is not as good at the business side. I think we can agree on that pretty easily.
Yeah.
They're not Dignitas. They're not Fnatic. They don't come from this long history of an
Or
esports
Liquid.
organization already. TSM and Cloud9 are doing a better job at fostering that than CLG. And I'm a CLG fan, but I can look at some of the business decisions. CLG still don't have a HOTS team. They have decent CS:GO team. Anyway.
I actually watched their CSGO team play the
Katowice?
no, the MLG qualifiers on Saturday before league started.
Oh, nice. So CLG has done some branching off, but CLG doesn't have as much money as them. And it's purely on the team management, right? Which is primarily Hotshot. And he's said this on his stream several times. He takes a lot of flack for it, and he admits that he's still learning, right? Some people just aren't as good at it as others, and some people, take some time to learn. So we can agree CLG just doesn't have as much money. That's why they lost Doublelift. That's why they couldn't fill.
No, they lost Doublelift because they no longer wanted Doublelift.
Wow.
Let's not pretend that it was a money issue. It
I
was
think
they do lo they no longer want him on the team.
I think I think I think money did have something to do with it, based on the salaries that we're getting information on that some of these players are being given. But anyway.
They may not want have wanted to spend the money that they had already promised him.
Yeah.
But this was not a salary negotiation
No. But
where
money was a
Doublelift
fa
didn't
but money was a factor.
potentially.
Money was a factor.
I will say the money
So
may have been a factor.
may have been a factor. So the thing that is crucial to this is that they didn't go out and try to get an AD carry, not even on Doublelift's level, but they didn't even try to get an AD carry that was already a proven, had a
No.
proven track record.
And I
That
mean,
Keith was available at the time. They could have gotten Keith.
Keith, Freeze,
Freeze. How many other? I mean, more than we could list, right?
Turtle was still a free agent at that
At the
point
time,
then too,
yeah.
right?
So they went with Stixxay. They went with Stixxay simply because he's probably cheap, and you know what? The guy's performing too, and he's cheap, and he's performing, and he's got a very supportive. Which sounds weird, especially in this meta saying, but he's got a very supportive AD carry style. CLG didn't have the money, and they turned around. They kept Xsmithie. They kept Huey. They unloaded Po Belter, I think, for salary reasons as well. I think Huey was probably a little cheaper. And you have TSM, and TSM have the money. They have a lot of money. It's like Team Liquid. They can just throw money. Oh, we want a Korean All-Star AD carry or World Champ AD
Yeah,
carry or
world
whatever.
champion AD carry.
World Champion.
Let's be clear. He is a world champion.
World Champ AD carry. Okay, let's grab him. And hey, I'm just telling you, this is TSM's future if they go down the same path as Team Liquid, and it's not pretty. So TSM and C9 have done this. And C9 is being smarter with their management. They're not necessarily filling their holes just with star players, right? And they've had to shuffle rather high around a couple times now. Like they're being very smart about it. TSM, again, no offense. I know you're a fan of the organization. I'm a fan of CLG. I just berated CLG for some of their management decisions. So I think I feel pretty confident in saying this. TSM just threw money at the problem, man. And they got players together that don't play well together. And they blamed management. Or, sorry, under management. They blamed the coaching. And they've tried different coach. They've tried getting the sports psychologist that's fixed a couple other teams now in. Neither of those things have worked. Not really. They didn't lock down Weldon or anything like that because he just went to Ember. Although there is a very good reason why he went to Ember, and it was financially motivated. But still, you get an all-star team, a great roster, a roster that should be dumpstering bodies, and their play styles don't work together, man. This is it. This is this is mid split or end of split. Reginald needs to axe a player or two from this team. And I'll tell you who I would axe.
All right, let's hear it. Who would you axe?
Get rid of Doublelift. Get rid of Hanser.
No, you do not get rid of
You
Hanser.
get rid of, I think there's three people on the team that are up for grabs. Hanser, Svensgeren, and Doublelift. Now, I like Hanser because he is a very versatile player. He plays carries as well as he plays
I would
like
argue
tanks and stuff.
Hanser is the one
Which...
TSM member performing stellar game in and game out.
All right, you want me to be brutally honest? Everyone but Yellow Star is on the chopping block in my head. And you know I'm not a fan of TSM, but
See, for me, I would argue that Yellow Star and Svensgeren are the two that are most.
yeah, you would. You have players on the team that are not playing well together. You've got they're like cats in a
Yes,
you know.
there is a problem in bot lane, and that's without question. Yellow Star and Doublelift both view how you play bottom lane very differently. Doublelift is very aggressive. Yellow Star is not. So that's an issue.
They keep putting Bjergsen on these utility mids.
Which isn't necessarily a problem.
He's flexed those picks before,
He has,
but
and
in this
he's done exceptionally well on with those picks before.
in this meta, especially when you pick up a carry top laner and you have such a strong carry bot laner, or at least that was the idea with this roster, you're taking the best mid in North America and you're putting them on champions they can't make plays on. They're not playmakers, they're play supporters. And I still think that that is the core issue. And that's why I think everyone is on the chopping block. And the reason why I don't think Yellow Star is on the chopping block is because of his record with Fnatic last season as primary shot caller. You can't look at a number like that, their perfect record last split, and think that that is the problem on the team. So either something drastic happened to Yellow Star in the shift over the flying over the Atlantic that has made him trash at shot calling, which maybe then he's on the chopping block if that happened. Although I can't think of anything scientifically that would cause that. Or every other player on the team is on the chopping block because they're not obviously not playing properly. You know?
Really, whoever's going to be on the chopping block is going to be whoever doesn't fit the vision for how TSM wants to play. And I think the way TSM wants to play is aggressive and all that kind of, like aggressive. They want to take the game to the other team. Because that's kind of the way Reggie was. So, which is why I think that Yellow Star will probably be the one on the chopping block because he's the most passive. He doesn't fit into that play style.
If he, you're right, if he's the one making the calls that's losing the game because he's not being aggressive enough, yeah, you're right.
Right? And TSM's jungle has kind of been a no man's land since Odd1 retired.
Yeah.
We've had multiple pretty good junglers come in.
Like Santorin's ability to pick up on the meta and quickly learn new champions is impressive.
Like Santorin came in and had a great
He had a good
sorry.
run.
Had a great first split
Yeah.
and then kind of just fell off the face of the earth
Yeah.
in the second split. Amazing was kind of so-so, but goes back to Europe and does great.
He finally went on Thorin and Monty's podcast or whatever, eh?
Yeah.
We almost talked about that last week. Anyway, yeah. Because he's
And
good,
then Sven
man.
Skarin was, heralded as being a great, he was great on SK and
Yep.
comes over here and he's kind of,
Zero pressure on the map. Zero.
yeah,
Zero pressure.
there's no jungle pressure coming out from TSM.
I'm playing Elise. I'm gonna go with a score like that at 30 minutes. I shouldn't be play like in solo queue. I have the
To be fair, he has a score like that after bot lane fed 4 kills into the Lucio.
Okay, but Elise is supposed to be like on par, maybe even better in the current meta than Lee Sin at making early game plays. With better scaling, too. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, this is what Elise is picked for in the current meta. This is why she hasn't fallen off in competitive, although she's not a huge solo queue pick because she's a bit of a higher skill cap, you know? Like,
So
no pressure, zero pressure.
I
It,
think
you know?
the problem with TSM is they have players who fundamentally want to play the game differently.
Exactly.
And they either need to reconcile that and get everyone on board with playing either aggressively or passively.
Yeah.
And with Bjergsen and Double FF on your team, you're going to be playing aggressive.
It's never gonna happen. Never, yeah, it's never gonna happen with those two guys on your team. So that's what I'm saying. And I think that letting I don't think the coaching was necessarily the problem. Is a coach that's brought in specifically to try to get the team like pumped up psychologically at fault for not being able to analyze the game and see that there are core differences in play styles here? You know, like is that really his fault? I don't know. I don't think so necessarily. I think they were too rash with that. I think the problem is the players are so expensive.
I
Reginald
think
now
he
sitting there.
no. He had to go and it had nothing to do with his performance. It had to do with he lost the, for lack of a better term, the room, the dressing room.
Yeah.
And you see this in pro sports all the time. Usually it doesn't happen this fast. But after a while the players just eventually end up tuning out the coach.
Yeah.
Because they're just saying the same things. And
And they don't trust them. We've been over that before.
yeah. And unfortunately for Casey, he got put into a bad situation
Here's a new team. Make it work.
where
Oh.
there were visa issues at the start of the split.
Right.
For getting both Yharge and Yellowstar over. They didn't have a lot of time before the first week to gel, and he essentially had to run practice by himself for that first week,
Yeah.
which is kind of throwing him under the bus for someone who's a self-admitted silver player.
Yeah. I'm surprised he's over bronze.
Well, we don't know when he was silver.
Yeah.
Because for the record, I was a silver player once.
Right. I was a silver player at one time. Yeah,
I
so
was. I ranked into silver 5 after my placement matches and didn't play at all the rest of the season.
I don't necessarily want to revisit this topic, sorry, project topic anytime soon, because I do feel we've talked about it a lot, but I think we've come to an agreement on what is wrong with TSM. It is definitely Ross. I think we disagree exactly what we would do as team owner at this point, but it is definitely play style issues between the players, and somebody needs to get the axe. I don't know if doing it this late in the split is a smart idea. Definitely
No, I
mid
think
split though.
you wait until
Yeah.
the mid-season break.
And it's a problem right now, dude, because the salaries that he's offered some of these players, right? Now, Yellowstar has come out and said that he joined TSM not because of the money. So, actually, Fnatic tried to get him and offered him more money, apparently, than
Yeah.
TSM. But, well, when you consider how expensive it is to live in the EU and stuff like that, now they don't pay for
The
any of their
flip
stuff,
side of
which
that
don't.
is TSM offers a lot of benefits as well to their team,
Right.
to the team members,
So, but how.
where their take home is truly their take home,
Right.
because they don't have TSM doesn't have to worry about paying for things like food and housing
Well, Fnatic
and.
does the same thing. There was just an article about FevVivian actually, just a couple days ago, about them too.
TSM also
But
has full health insurance,
oh wow, that's big in
for
the.
all their players.
Yeah.
There was a
Ever since the plague.
there was a thing by Doublelift, when he came over from CLG. I think it was Doublelift when he came over from CLG. He's like, I have health coverage now, and
Yeah.
like that's a big thing. Like TSM covers their like
In the States, yeah.
has health insurance.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a big selling point. Means they don't have to worry. Now, it's easier for people in that age group to get health insurance now
Yeah.
and more affordable, but still.
So, I mean, TSM's problems aren't over, man. And even if Reginald didn't offer them outlandish sums like the Yankees, throw money at all the star players all the time to try to recruit the best team they can, right? Instead of moneyballing it. He's going to have some trouble offloading these players because isn't the way you do it, you get the other team, the other organization to either buy out their entire salary. And if they can't buy out their entire salary, but you really want or need to lose the player, then you end up paying the difference, right? Isn't that the traditional sports model of.
I mean, it depends on how these contracts are worded,
Right.
right? Like it all depends, and because we don't have, there is no,
No, obviously
because
not.
there is no league LCSPA, well, League Championship Series Players Association,
Yeah.
because there is no PA,
Maybe there should be.
to negotiate, to collectively bargain with Riot and the owners.
Yeah.
Their contracts, there's no, their contracts can be wildly worded differently.
There's no regulation, but
Yeah, so that what you can range from anywhere from an NFL style contract where you can be cut tomorrow and they don't have to pay you anything outside of their quote unquote guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And most players don't have a lot of guaranteed money in their contracts outside of your few stars on your teams, your
Yeah.
quarterbacks, your star receivers, your star running backs, your star linebackers. Like,
So,
if you're a offensive lineman, you're not getting a lot of guaranteed money. You can be cut tomorrow. Or do they have a more soccer style where do you trade contracts and buy contracts and all of that, or is it more, or do they have a NHL NBA baseball contract where you really can't get rid of the money? That player is owed all that money in the contract one way or
Yeah.
another.
So, so depending on how the contracts are worded, this could be pretty expensive for Reginald to try to, at the end of the split, to try to axe the right people to get a team that's performing well.
It could be.
It could be pretty expensive, or at least very troublesome legally. So, you look at the teams that are doing well right now, Immortals, CLG, Echo Fox on the rise. Energy is still doing, okay, and Cloud9 definitely. Yeah, aggro playstyle, really fast rotations, catching people, then engaging the team fights, like these are the place this is the playstyle that people want to watch. It's the playstyle people are hyped for. I mean, this week we had more carry. Do you realize this week we had more carry junglers than almost any week previously. You realize that?
No,
Two,
and I'm
two.
not gonna lie, I don't pay a lot of
Sorry,
attention to jungle
this
picks.
split, and I pay healthy attention to this. This split, anyway. Sorry, this split. Not ever, but this split. I mean, we had two DPS Lee Sins, not midline Bruiser Lee Sins, definitely not tank Lee Sins, not tank Lee Sins with one damage item, like full on, I'm gonna carry this game Lee Sins. It is an exciting time for junglers, man. It's an exciting time for junglers, and I think I even put Udyr in the category as being a carry-ish jungler. So although a lot of tank built there, but still. So yeah, want to take a minute because I feel like I've been hating on League a little bit and Riot a little bit earlier in the podcast, and lighten things up a little bit. I am abs because and I don't think we covered this on the show either, or not in detail. Absolutely astounded at the Keystone Masteries. It feels like that sort of thing was on the tip of everyone's tongue, or like at the tip of their brain, right? Before. And whoever's idea at Riot it was to put those Keystone Masteries in deserves a raise and should be behind all gameplay decisions in the future. If it w
What if it was Ghost
if
Crawler?
it was Ghostcrawler, then that man is a bloody genius. They add so much strategic diversity. Hearing the pros stream and they're like, "Oh, he went Thunderlords, so I know he's going to gank a lot early game." And, "Oh, I know he went Strength of the Ages, so I know he's going to be doing a lot of, farming, so I this play is relatively safe." Double checking, oh, Grasp of the Undying, like I really have to watch out for this guy in lane, I think the support ones are a little, I mean, there's Bond of Snow or Stone, Bond of Stone, and what's the other one, the shielding one or whatever it's called, Windspeaker's Blessing or whatever. There are, there's a little bit less diversity for the supports and stuff like, but my God, these, I mean, I'm trying new builds with champions where I'll just like be like, huh, I've never tried Grasp of the Undying. I'm usually a Strength of the Ages man. Let's try Grasp of the Undying this game. And let's see if I can have some fun with it. Like let's see, maybe that's a really good Hecarim. Which, by the way, Hecarim has the highest win rate in Korea with Grasp of the Undying, not Strength of the Ages, not Thunderlords. It's really fun to play with. These Keystone Masteries are just amazing, and it's great to see such diversity in the LCS too. Now when that screen pops up, right? Just seeing players picking very very different ones all across the board, especially the first couple of weeks where it was just Thunderlords, and Warlords if you were AD, or no, not Warlords, Fervor, or Warlords if you were AD. So just amazing, just amazing. Now a little bit of bitching, a little bit more bitching.
Little bit
Devour,
more bitching. Okay,
Devour.
let's hear the bitching.
How many times have De has Devour been built in LCS this split?
I don't know, Pete. How many times?
Zero times. Zero times. You can go back and check if you want, but I'll tell you in NALCS, zero times. I know because I've listened or watched to almost every single game, and I've never heard them talk about the stacks of the Devour. I know because it's not a very good competitive jungle enchant to get for obvious reasons, because people know exactly where you're going to be as soon as you buy it. Oh, they're going to do an early Rift Herald. Oh, they're going to do early Dragons. Let's ward
No,
off that
I've
arrow.
definitely heard them talking about Devour at least a couple times.
I don't think they were talking about people in game. I think they were talking about the choice to.
No, because they were talking about how he didn't have a lot of stacks, and he wasn't prioritizing getting his stacks.
Okay, maybe it was built once, and that's the exact reason why it's not being used anymore. But my point is, there is a reason why we don't see very much of it at all in the LCS, okay? There are two champions in solo queue, Kyle Pett, that are overpowered with this item. Wen
All
Zhao
right.
and Master Yi, okay? Instead of nerfing those champions and nerfing Ginsu's Rageblade that's overpowered with it, they're nerfing the Devour. And I'm just upset about it. Because in a meta in which almost nobody is building it except for those specific champions, it pisses me off. You know me. It's like the Hecarim business all over again. Hecarim gets played one game in the LCS, receives six patch nerfs in a row. Where's the love, Blizzard? But seriously, like, why? If something's not good on a competitive level, like overpowered on a competitive level, I don't feel like it should be dumbed down because people in bronze can't deal with it.
Yep.
That's just my opinion. Not that everything should be high skill cap or whatever. Do you want to talk about IEM a little bit? Katowice?
We can.
A little bit?
I think, yeah, for the most part, I think we're going to be out of our depth a little bit.
Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah, because
Because there's two NA teams compared to a whole bunch of other.
well, let's just look at our chances. I'm trying to bring up the list of teams. Nope. Yes, League of Legends. Awesome. There we go. So CLG and TSM. I
Yeah,
already knew that.
CLG, TSM, Origin and Fnatic,
A European.
SK Telecom and Ever, and I'm not gonna try and pronounce that butchering. QG.
Kwai-Gu Reapers, I think.
And the Royal Never Give Up.
I actually like North America's chances right now, man. Hey,
Yeah.
I actually do. I sorry, let me rephrase. I actually like CLG's chances. No, but seriously, I'm excited because
watch TSM come out and run rampant over the
they're good in
competition.
best of series, man. TSM's got that
They
magic.
are. I mean, they got to get out of the best of one double elimination thing and into the bracket stage, but yeah.
I don't think that North America is going to win, but I think, and it's probably going to be CLG, I think, is going to make it into the actual finals and stuff. Not the final finals, but like the quarters or semis or
Bracket
whatever.
stage, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be really healthy for them to get a dose of exactly what's happening in other regions, like it is every time there's international competition mid-season, right? But and just to see this is SKT that's in a very transitional period right now. But they are still essentially the same SKT from last year as world champs. They're missing two players off their starter roster now. They switched somebody out last week, or announced that they were switching them out for Katowice. So they are two players down, but they're still Faker, right?
Yeah.
And it's gonna be interesting. Can we take a game off them? Are we gonna try to cheese it with split pushing again? Are
Now,
like
right now, SK Telecom's middle of the pack in
yes.
LCK
I
too.
knew you were gonna say that. I knew you were gonna say that. They're middle of the pack, and that means no. You're reading the rankings wrong. The number one team is far in front, and the other teams from two to six, so the other five teams have all taken games off of each other. So it's actually kind of confusing to know exactly where SKT is in the general ranking of things because the competition is so stiff, like right before
Yeah.
the number one spot. So yes, in theory it looks like it would look like, oh, CLG took a game off like the number six team, but they're one or two good weeks away from being the number two team, right? So, but anyway, I'm excited about this, man. I'm really excited about this. Who they have shown up at IEM. I'm still not 100% certain how they decide who gets to go to IEM. I would prefer it to
Well,
be
I can tell
CLG and
you.
Cloud9, but anyway, yeah, please tell
No,
me.
it was decided by the two teams in each of the San Jose and Cologne, was it?
Yeah.
Finals, meaning CLG, Origin. Who else got in off of that? Sorry, I lost. Oh, I guess I just need to scroll up. Origin, CLG, Ever, and QG were the ones who got in there. And then one one team from the LPL, one team from the LCK, one team from NA, and one team from EU. So the way they picked those teams, because those teams were announced long before our current standings.
Long before Immortals were even a twinkle in...
Now, Immortals was doing well when they were announced, but the teams were probably decided before then.
Yeah.
Let's see. They took a Chinese team. I can't really argue why they took Royal.
Yeah.
They took your defending LCS world champions. They took the defending IEM champions. And they took the best European team from the world championship the previous year.
Okay. So this is leaving us how they decided on the NA.
On how they decided the NA and the EU and the LCK teams.
Yeah.
That's...
Again, no offense to TSM. But TSM are actually, like, kind of middle of the pack, like SKT are a false positive for right now. But again, with the way they're playing, they're actually, like, middle of the pack. So... Again, I'm hoping.
I'm not saying TSM is going to do well.
Yeah.
Not saying that at all. I'm simply saying TSM got picked because, one, they're TSM, and IEM wants viewers.
Cloud9?
And TSM will bring viewers.
Cloud9 will bring viewers.
Cloud9 is not the defending world champion, the defending champions, though.
That's true.
Right there. That gets TSM in. TSM is the defending IEM world champions.
Yeah.
TSM gets an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
It'll be a fun couple days of watching some league, though, this weekend, yeah?
Yes, if we're actually going to be able to watch the game.
Oh, no, you're right. They're in Poland.
They're in Poland.
And they're at like 11 a.m. and stuff, right?
No, TSM plays at 6 a.m. on Friday.
Our time or their time?
Our time. Yeah. And CLG plays at 6 a.m. on Saturday.
I might be up for the CLG game. Not even joking.
Yeah. I won't.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
I'll be up for the TSM game. I just won't be somewhere I can watch. So. Oh.
I'll literally be getting out of bed for the TSM.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I wish I could talk about HOTS a little bit and stuff like that. They have had some qualifiers for going to the championships or something like that. Cloud9 won in North America, by the way. They won their spot already, locked in.
Not surprising. Cloud9's been doing...
Yeah. The game's so prominent. Interesting because it's so rotationally heavy, you know? Like, it's basically League of Legends, like, early to mid-game without the late game ever.
Yeah.
Really?
Or the early game.
Or the early game? It's just kind of mid-game.
It's a giant mid-game.
It's just mid-game. I still like watching it and stuff like that, but there's something about item builds. I didn't really want to cover this on this podcast, actually, so I'm going to sum it up pretty quickly. But there's just something about item builds and personally being responsible for getting enough gold to complete said items that just makes League of Legends feel more competitive and the individual players be more impactful. You know? There's just something about that compared to traits that everyone has access to. There's just something about that that, to me, makes me respect the individual players and their teamwork, whereas in HOTS, I'm in awe oftentimes of the teamwork pros are doing, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just pissed off when I'm playing with pugs. I'm playing an amazing game at Chen. I'm doing everything Chen's supposed to do. And by the way, there were a couple sick Chen plays from the Korean region posted on the subreddit. He barrels. You know the barrel ult for Chen, right?
Yeah.
He barrels the other team off of taking a boss, takes the boss in barrel form. Amazing stuff. Anyway, yeah. So I wish I had more to talk about HOTS. I hope I get some time later this week to play Zul a bit. You know, I have a comic with him on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah. Anyway. This weekend we'll be watching what I can of IEM. And
Also happening this weekend too, on top of the on top of IEM and the various esports that surround it, StarCraft, Counter-Strike, etc. It's also the Shanghai Major for Dota 2
Oh,
this
okay.
weekend, the main state, the main event
The Twitch wars
finals.
have begun.
The Twitch wars have begun. Yes.
In history, Dota 2 tends to actually destroy League of Legends. So.
I think our world championships have
Yeah,
done better than.
but oh, sorry. Like a regular week of LCS gets destroyed by Dota championships going on at the same time,
Yes.
sort of thing. So,
But that's.
to be expected,
It's
obviously.
to be expected. It's the world
More
championship.
weighted, yeah.
Of course they're gonna be outviewed. Sorry, there has been a lot of drama though out of the Dota game
Please.
thing. Last weekend, so I kind of only know the Reddit drama side of things. So they hired this host. Can't remember his name. He's very he did a couple of the internationals previously. He didn't do the last one, but I think he did 2, 3, and 4. He was kind of like the panel host. So like your Shocks or your Dash.
Yeah.
And my understanding is there were some people in Valve who did not want to bring him back. There was another subset in Valve who really wanted him to come back.
Yeah.
But this gentleman is a very, can be very vulgar.
Yeah.
As in my understanding from what I've read, is not a very professional face, jokes around a lot, tells some inappropriate jokes, told one joke about pornography on the first day.
Yeah, you sent me Yeah.
So there's that, which is not the greatest. And then, so basically, Gabe Newell, Valve CEO, publicly fired him on Reddit the last weekend,
Yeah.
and calling him an ass.
Which is probably deserved.
Probably deserved. From my takeaway from this, is. Though Gabe maybe should have worded things a little bit better or whatever, this is why a lot of people love him, because when he speaks, he there is no filter. You get your pure, unadulterated, this is what Gabe thinks, right? Which can be good and bad at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, the problem. So he then tells his side of the story. And my reading of it is Valve basically wanted, or at least Gabe and his side of it, basically wanted a much more professional ESPN style broadcast. Like what we see with League of Legends.
Yeah.
Where, you can have some jokes, have some laughs, but very polished, very sports. And my understanding is the guy that got fired disagreed with that direction and a little angrily at times. Now he in his giant 17-page quote unquote tell-all rant, there were some questionable things where I'm not quite sure I buy into everything that he's selling. Things like Valve not paying the casters until he personally negotiated compensation for every caster, etc. This is like 3 years ago now or so something. And it's like, if this was the case, I kind of feel like it would have come out by now that this was something that Valve was trying to do. And the fact that it hasn't, it never came out at all, it leaves me to question what exactly is going on. We don't really have Valve's side of the story. We just have this guy and his side.
Well, they don't gain anything by coming out and
No,
saying
they don't
anything
gain
about it.
anything by coming out and
They
telling their
lose
side.
by validating his story at all, right?
Yeah.
So, talk about Valve though. We all, you know, I'm always hypercritical about Blizzard for not doing enough to support its esports, you know, communities, right? And I still think they could step it up a little bit. I think they're still dragging their feet. We'll see what they do with Overwatch. But anyway, talk about Valve, man. You know, talk about a huge, massive company hand over fist, right? And the Dota 2 community is fanatical about that game, right?
Yes, they are.
You
Now,
know.
the part of it is it's not just Valve funding the prize pools for their big tournaments. Some of it is the fan base
Well,
covering it, which I disagree with.
forget prize pools even. Yeah, and I disagree with too,
Yeah,
because Valve could
I
easily do it. But forget about the prize pool. I'm just talking about like a regular LCS type thing. I remember the month before LCS was announced, this format, right, that we've had for the last 5 seasons. No, 4 seasons. Yeah. I remember thinking to myself, man, wouldn't it be great if like there was a weekly thing where we got to watch some pros play?
Yeah.
And a month later they came out with it, you know, so it had obviously been cooking for a while. And in my opinion, that just does more for the tournament structure is bad. It's not consistent enough. It's bad. We don't have a Wimbledon. Move away from the lands, folks. Move to the regular
It is, but
broadcast.
this is what Valve wants to create those lands, right? They want to kind of, they want to make those four big traditional tournaments. They want to make their your Wimbledons, your Augustas, your PGA championships.
If they're happy with that, man, all right.
I mean, the thing is, you win one of those and you're laughing for a while. Like, for the winners, it pays off.
I don't like it. I don't like it as much. I never liked it. Like I get nostalgic about the days where I'd like go home for Thanksgiving, crack a couple beers after my family had gone to bed and watch, you know, 'cause for some reason it's always at Thanksgiving the World Championships, right? And watch you know, a tournament at you know, used to be IEM and MLG and what was that company that IPL went out of business, right? I miss it watching those tournaments, but the new format on a regular basis is much more convenient,
It
right?
is. It,
For the players as well,
you can
but for
tell
us.
where each company has kind of gotten their inspiration from.
Yeah, for how to run an esports scene.
Valve is very much in the shooter vein because the shooters have long had kind of that four major setup. Akin to more golf and tennis. And that's
Wimbledon and
kind of
Open.
always been how their calendars have aligned. Whereas League of Legends, and because they're, they, because League of Legends was, I think it has a lot to do with because League of Legends was adopted by the Korean community a lot more than some of these other games have been. And because StarCraft was like this, they kind of ported over the the kind of StarCraft system into League of Legends,
Oh, StarCraft in Korea. Yeah.
in Korea, the
Yeah.
leagues,
I
the
was about
and
to
things like
say,
that, which
StarCraft
it
in North America is just a bunch of Koreans doing a Wimbledon style tournament in North America. That's it. So.
which to bring it back to North America is very much how typically North Americans consume sports, which is professional leagues every week. Like the NFL is king in the US right now.
Yeah.
And that's every Sunday. You got your day, you got Sunday football.
Yep.
Right? So I think it's a little column A, a little column B that just kind of made sense for Riot to go in that direction. I don't think either direction is necessarily wrong.
Yeah.
I think that from our perspective, as people who do a podcast every week, we like the weekly League of Legends.
Definitely.
However, part of me as a consumer sometimes would like to shift back into the tournament scene a little bit more.
What's the advantage?
Well, the advantage is I no longer have to block out Saturday and Sunday afternoon from
Right.
3 p.m. until
Actually,
7 or 8.
that's funny because I'd like to run this by you with the new format coming up next split. I think we're close enough to it.
Well, we can discuss that later.
Well, but no, but this is directly related to what you were talking
Okay.
about. Are you going to be more strategic about which series you tune into now? Because I'll tell you what, I am. I am. I'll watch if there are teams that I know are my favorite, playing.
Yeah.
I'm going to ignore Renegades forever from now on. I'm going to ignore Dig. I want to watch C9. I want to watch TSM. I want to watch CLG. I want to watch Immortals, maybe Energy and Echo Fox. That's it. So if one of those teams, and that is pretty much, but every day, but still.
That's like half the league, Pete, but
You know,
okay.
I imagine I'm probably going to get more and more selective though, right? As time goes on. So I'm definitely going to be.
I mean, I think we'll have to be just because of the sheer volume and the fact that
It's
they'll
too
be
many games.
running two games at the same time.
Yeah.
So we will only be able to watch half of the games.
Yeah. So
Without going back and watching it.
But in some ways, I think that might be better. It
Yeah.
might actually be more efficient. I'm looking forward to it. We'll see how it goes. They could try it out for a split and just decide it's not working and go back to the old way. But something tells me it's going to be really healthy for North America on the world stage. So,
Probably. Well,
yeah,
we'll see.
we'll see.
We'll see come World Championships.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Yep.
we've gone quite
Yes.
long with our digressions into Dota 2 drama and
Yeah.
other things. And I mean, I could talk about some of the Counter-Strike stuff that I watched because it wasn't bad. I did
Yeah,
kind of
right?
understand. Having played 1.6, I did kind of understand the general idea behind what was going on.
Yeah.
It's a very different game than the kind of Pug server game that I'm used to playing.
How did you like them handling the FPS format as an esport with commentating casting?
I don't think it's perfect. But I think it's better than it used to be.
Yeah.
And I think Counter-Strike is a little different than something that's a little bit more fast-paced, like a Halo or a Call of Duty,
Yeah.
where a lot of the time you're jumping perspectives really fast. I think it was so the slower pace of Counter-Strike kind of lets you do that. Now, The flip side of that is also, though somewhat slower paced in terms of before the action gets going, your actual time to kill in Counter-Strike is very low,
Yeah.
which means you don't have a lot of long protracted gunfights like you would in a Halo. Halo's time to kill is a little bit higher on the higher end than a Call of Duty or a Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
And Counter-Strike is definitely the more strategic, cerebral shooter, I would say. I
It's
think
very
it
strategic. You have to set up for a while. Yeah. Yeah.
And I do kind of, this is kind of the second or third time I've kind of watched some Counter-Strike. So I'm starting to understand things like, why they go all pistols for a round and things like that. And I'm
So,
starting to pick up some of the terminology.
does this bode well for Overwatch or
I
not?
think it does, because speaking of Overwatch, as we continue on, there was also an Overwatch tournament this weekend.
Really? I
Yes,
didn't even hear about that. What the hell?
I think it. I don't think it was. It wasn't a big one. I think it was just one of those kind of weekly or monthly tournaments that you kind of saw a lot in StarCraft.
Yeah.
But I saw. I didn't watch a lot of it. I just watched. I think like a single round or game set,
Yeah.
and they did jump around a lot. And because of Overwatch's movement, it was actually, I think, a little bit harder to follow than Counter-Strike.
Yeah, I'm worried about it.
Which is why I think static cameras work better for something like Overwatch.
Yeah. And then you have to be strategic about where you place them on the map and, all
You
that, right?
do, yeah. And that's the problem with something as intricate as a shooter, where there's
Yeah.
lots of different places to go.
Yeah.
Like if it was a simple arena, team deathmatch, like everyone jumps into a death pit,
And there wouldn't be enough
and
strategy then,
there's not a
right?
lot of geometry, and it's
Yeah.
just like
But then it wouldn't be
pure
intriguing.
Twitch on pure Twitch.
Yeah. I mean,
Because
fighting
we
fans would
ha
like
there
it,
have
but
been games like that. Unreal Tournament was like that,
yeah.
where it was just pure Twitch against pure Twitch.
Yeah.
So things like that, I think, definitely would benefit from like overhead cameras, because it's very much like a more hockey style rank. But it's kind of hard to do single point cameras in something as intricate as some of these shooter maps. Although I think it would behoove them to perhaps have cameras set up on around capture points, or with that move with like the objectives
Yeah.
in Overwatch. I think that could be a way that they could set up the camera controls.
So then it's on the game devs and the map designers to make a map that is engaging enough to watch professionally without being confusing.
Yes.
Yeah. And
Definitely.
something tells me that they have not really done that yet. You know what I mean?
Oh, it doesn't feel
So.
like it. I think they can do it. I think it's possible to find that spot. I just don't think anyone in really any game has found that spot.
I might as well ask you this on the podcast because I'm
Do
not saving it for next week. So I'm in the market for a new TV.
you are.
And when I have a TV, well, a TV, new would imply that I already had one. When I have one, I'm not going to rush out and buy a console, but I might get a console. And I might get a console for Overwatch. Yeah. Now, I have certain people pulling me towards PS4. It's better graphics. It's a better performing console, apparently, for FPS.
I would say the difference is largely negligible. Your differences are a couple of frames here and there.
I've never played an FPS really with a game controller either. I'm thinking about just getting it for my computer. But anyway, yeah, I don't know what to do. 'Cause 50% of people would want me to get an Xbox, 50% of people would want me to get a PS4.
Yeah,
So, cart before horse 'cause I don't even have a TV yet, but
I mean the argument is generally you go where your friends are. Now when your friends are split, that becomes a problem.
Then you get both, right?
I mean, you theoretically, if you had all that money, yes, you could get both.
How nice of you to be able to do that, to buy both consoles. How nice.
I mean. I had both consoles eventually last generation. And now with the 50-50 split in your friend group, the next thing that would push you towards one console or another would be who has the exclusives that you want to play.
Yeah.
And
So I want to play Destiny, Diablo 3, and Overwatch.
those are all multi-platform, so you're fine.
Yeah. No, they're all multi-platform, so I'm fine, which is worse. But apparently, there's
Yes.
better exclusives for PS4 for Destiny.
I don't think anyone really agree. I think the Destiny exclusives generally get laughed off. They're like they're not really that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I think Destiny's exclusives are like a single gun, one or two guns, and like a strike mission
Yeah.
or something. It's
I'm pretty
not.
torn here, man, 'cause Destiny and Diablo 3 seem like really fun games to just chill out and play on a big screen TV, you
Yeah.
know? And Overwatch is going to be maybe a little bit more competitive, but still I could just chill out and play that.
Yeah.
And I don't know which console to buy. Again,
Yeah.
getting pretty far ahead of myself here, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's who do you want to play with more, I guess, is really what you need to
Well, my
ask
hours
yourself.
sync up better with you,
Yeah.
but I there's more people apparently that play PS4 that I know. So
While Peter debates
anyway,
the merits of which
I figured
console,
I'd bring it up on podcast because it's
yeah,
video game related.
you might as well.
It also might be me delving even deeper into being able to talk about more topics than just League of Legends, so.
If you would like to weigh in on Peter's console decision,
Please
Pete,
do.
where can they let you know?
Yeah, let me know at BrushWInsanity on Twitter, or you can email us at what is it, FringeMeta at
FringeMeta@gmail.com.
gmail.com.
And if you want to, with me, tout the awesomenesses of the Xbox One, and more specifically, Halo and Gears of War, you can.
Gears of War is a good exclusive.
Oh,
Ugh.
and they're going back to their horror roots, it kind of seems, too.
Oh, I don't like horror though.
Oh.
Oh,
Well, it's not quite horror, but it's kind of darker and
Grimmer?
yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a little bit less brotastic than the last one, because the last one got pretty bro.
Yeah.
But there were feels in that bro. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Pett, and with everything, we hope you enjoyed this kind of extra long podcast today.
Yeah.
See you next.